Gracious Almighty God, we bring to you these prayer requests today. We bring Mike and his family to you with the passing of his brother. Lord, we pray your comfort and your mercy upon them, that you give them encouragement. We do give you thanks that Mike had good test results, and so he's dealing with the positives and the negatives of life all at the same time. And so we lift him up and his family to you. We lift up Ryder, who is sick in Dallas Children's Hospital. Lord, we just pray for his family, for the doctors and nurses as they treat him. We ask, O God, that you provide that peace that passes all understanding. Remind them that you're with them, even though this is a dark and difficult time. We also want to pray for Hunter. Lord, just pray for healing for him as he recovers from his broken leg. We just ask, God, that you heal his body and help him to deal with whatever lies ahead for him. And then we also lift up Betty to you, Lord, who was admitted to the hospital in Amarillo. She and many others right now are struggling because of COVID-19. The pandemic, as much as we want it to just be over, still rages. It still has its grip. It still is. It's still a real thing. And so, God, I pray for all of those, including Betty today, who are in the hospital because of COVID. I ask for their safety, for protection, for healing. I pray for all those who are caring for them, because I can't even imagine how tired doctors and nurses are and hospitals are right now. And so I ask a double blessing upon them. And then for all who are struggling with the virus, whether they have it or are caring for a loved one, those who are still fighting it. And I just pray, Lord, that that you will continue to be with us. And Lord, we pray for the end of this pandemic. We ask, God, that your mighty hand is upon it. Get rid of it so that we can truly go back to living, quote-unquote, normal lives. It's been very disruptive, and you know that. And so, God, I just ask for your blessings. I ask for your peace. We do pray, Lord, for all of those who are in the hospital. We pray for those who are having procedures. We want to pray for Neva and Joe as Joe goes for his treatment today. And we just pray, Lord, that all the prayer requests that are on all of our hearts, we lay them at the foot of your throne and ask that your will be done. Because we know that you hear us, and we give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. They are our sponsors today. Apostle Casey Elliott is an awesome man of God. And Crosscut Creations by Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here in the Promise Center in Elk City, Oklahoma. They're also one of our Facebook sponsors. Don't go away, y'all. We'll be right back.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more. They just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Where you are in life is up to you. We tend to point the finger at someone else or some circumstance in life. The key is to recognize who the pilot of your airplane is. If you don't take responsibility of where you are, then you will find your life back in the same place. How high or far you go is up to you.
New year, new ride, right here at Barberhouse & Ford of Elk City, Western Oklahoma's auto headquarters. For the next 2 weeks, take advantage of great incentives on Ford SUVs, like 0% for 60 months and customer bonus cash on the all-new 21 Ford Edge and Expedition, plus new units arriving daily. Come experience the Barberhouse indifference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service, only at BarberhouseAndFord.net.
Edge SEL, stock number T16110, Expedition Stealth Edition, stock number A10101, WAC through 4 credit financing, 0% APR for 60 months to 1667 per month, per $1,000 finance. Exclusions apply. See dealer for details.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. Our guest this morning is Pastor Scott Rogers. His title for today is, If It's So Simple, Do It. Come on.
So we ended at a spot where we were talking about it's not so simple. Should be, but it's not. Come on. So I think what I want to do for a minute is kind of talk about why isn't it? You know what I mean? What causes love your neighbor to end up being controversial? And I'll do it by using the dreaded them. You know, them, those people. And be aware, them is different for each person. For the lawyer, the them was the Samaritan, right? No question. The lawyer was flabbergasted by Jesus' insistence that you go and do likewise like a Samaritan. But I think them could be because they speak a different language. I think them could be that they dress differently. Them could be that they smell funny. Them could be that they're from another state or a town. Them could be because they vote differently than I do. Them could be, well, I just don't like them. Them could be, well, they just don't like me. Them can be anything that causes a separation from one another. And the problem with them is because them becomes a barrier to us actually fulfilling love your neighbor. Now, the confessional element of this is that we all have thems.
Come on.
Even when we think we don't. In our own country, we're dealing with institutional racism. We're dealing with, you know, how we treat each other because we are different races or ethnicities. I mean, look at the struggle even in our own state between, you know, our tribes and the government. We've dealt with this in Oklahoma as far as back as Oklahoma has existed. The influx of persons who now speak languages other than English is growing every day. How do we deal with that? How do we deal with them? That's usually the way we talk about it, right?
Yeah.
I remember back in high school. So it was funny. My mom used to call my friend group the United Nations. But I look back and I think part of the reason this sermon hits so close to home for me is in my friend group, I had one of my best friends growing up was from London. He had a green card. He was never an American citizen. One of my other friends was half Korean. His mom and dad met in the Korean War. His mom was Korean. By the way, could absolutely cook. Oh, I love Korean food. I digress. It sounds delicious, though. One of my friends was from India. His parents came from India, and his name was Prabhat. I had another friend who was blind. He was an African-American kid named Chuck, who couldn't see. And I had friends, because of where I went to school, I had friends that were African American, Asian. I feel very fortunate that I got to have those experiences. But not because it made me so much better, but because it alerted me that the world is a bigger place than I think it is. And I think that's actually the point of today's lesson, is I think the reason them becomes such a barrier is that our view of the world becomes so small. It becomes so myopic. We only see what's right in front of us. We only see what we think affects us. If we had the number of children die of starvation here that they have in other parts of the world, there'd be an uproar. If we had the genocide because of whatever your religious preference is that there is in some parts of the world, there would be an uproar. Look at our own struggles right now. We can't get along based on, you know, whether you should wear masks, not masks, get vaccinated, don't get vaccinated, believe COVID's real, don't believe it's real, didn't vote for this guy, didn't vote for that guy, don't like this one. I mean, we can't seem to figure it out even now here. But we're good at looking around the world and going, well, you should get it together, right? I've often said, and I've said this in many, many sermons, you know, the thing that really bothers me is we used to be able to disagree with one another and still love one another. Yes. Now, if we disagree with one another, we are enemy. And I think, you know, I hear it all the time. Well, you know, the politicians, if they just, you know, if those Republicans or those Democrats would just figure it out. Here's the problem. We in the church can't get this one right. We have an argument in the church and we fight worse than any Republican or Democrat. Loving neighbor takes work. Loving neighbor is not that easy. Should be simple, and we should just do it, but we don't. Because it's hard. And I think that's why the Samaritan story, and again, I pause here to say, I think we miss it in the 21st century because we don't get it to that degree. But the Samaritan story is an affront to quite frankly, the way of life for this lawyer and for the people listening. It's an affront. It is a challenge to this guy. And before we write it off and go, well, he should have known better, or he should get, what is that whole saying, you know, the log in your own eye or plank or whatever it is where you see the speck in other or whatever that saying is, right? Yeah. Good grief. Before we start condemning somebody else for their myopia, or before we start condemning someone else for their lack of keeping it simple and just doing it, before we start condemning others for not being good neighbors, I think we have to do something that's very difficult, and that is we have to take inventory.
Come on.
Of our own neighborness. And before I go any further and sort of walk myself into a place I can't get out of, I'll just bring it right back to Jesus. If we as Christians, Christ followers, are to follow in his footsteps, let me remind you of who Jesus considered to be a neighbor. This is not an exhaustive list. This is just a quick list. But Jesus talked to women. First century, that just didn't happen. He talked to Samaritans. We just saw that in the Good Samaritan story, right? Yes. He went to leper colonies. I mean, if you think we think, you know, we talk about being unclean, you know, oh my gosh, today, leper colonies, they literally put them at the caves in the edge of towns and forgot about them and just let them die. Gosh. Jesus went there. Jesus talked with shepherds who were, again, not, that's not considered a real fancy profession. We know that Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners. We know that Jesus called little children to come and hear him. We know that Jesus spoke to the lame and healed the blind and met with the rejected. And this is not an exhaustive list. I'm just giving you a few. Jesus' view of neighbor is way, way more all-encompassing than ours.
Come on.
Jesus' view of neighbor is so much bigger than ours. And I think that's what makes it difficult, is our view of neighbor is, you know, the people who live around me.
Come on.
You know, maybe the neighbor is the people I go to church with, the people I do life with. I think Jesus takes that, quite frankly, at issue and says, no, your neighbor is anyone that I love.
Come on.
If I love them, then they're your neighbor.
Yes.
And if they're your neighbor, you are called to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Simple, right? Just do it, right? Well, how? How do we do this? Well, I actually think it's pretty smart. Jesus is a pretty smart guy. He told another story. You want to know how you serve as a neighbor? You want to know how to be a neighbor? Let me tell you how you do that. When I was hungry, when you saw somebody that was hungry, you fed them. When you saw someone was thirsty, you gave them something to drink. When you saw them naked, you clothed them. When you saw they were a stranger, you invited them in. When you saw them imprisoned, you went and visited them. Remember Sheep and the Goats, Matthew 25. You see, Jesus is trying to impress upon them, it's not rocket science. Love whoever's in front of you. Love when you hear something is unjust or wrong, do something. Love someone that somebody else has forgotten. Look at the list I gave you. Women, considered property. He met with them, talked with them, they followed him. Children. No political status. Lepers, outcasts. Tax collectors and sinners, lowlifes. Jesus met with them, treated them like people, showed us what it means to really be a neighbor. To me, that's where this becomes so important and real. In my life, I'm pretty apt to be like the teacher of the law. Well, I love most people. You know, I love a lot of people. You know, I mean, isn't that enough, Jesus? I mean, I want most people to be okay. Jesus seems to say, if you really love God and you really love your neighbor, that means loving all the people that I love. And just in case you're sitting there going, yeah, this sounds good in theory, I want to take you to one more story. It's our last story of the day. It happened on a hill just outside of Jerusalem. When Jesus was being crucified, and he looked out over the crowd, and he said this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He's looking at the people who drove the nails in his hands and feet. He's looking at the people who tore his clothes and gambled for them, cast lots for them. He's looking at the religious officials that incited the crowd. He's looking at the Roman government that finally did put on the execution. And dare I say it, he's thinking about all the people who put him up there. All of us who are sinners. And yet, look, by that point, I'm out. Okay, I'm just being honest. I'm through being Mr. Nice Guy, right? I don't know that I would be in that spot. I'd probably be like, you know, cursed be them or something. No, Jesus tells another story. Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. You see, that's what love your neighbor really means. That's the depth of love your neighbor. Is when you can love your neighbor even when they don't love you. You can love your neighbor even when it's difficult. That you can love your neighbor when it would be much more natural to again yell down curses rather than forgiveness. Jesus illustrates for us what being a neighbor really is. By embodying it on the cross. So I take you back to where we started. Almost an hour ago. Love God and love neighbor. Seems simple. But it's not. It takes an incredible amount of faith. It takes an incredible heart. It takes self-denial. It takes us putting others first. It takes us being more like Jesus. But last I checked, I believe that's the call of Christians.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
To follow, to not only hear Christ, but follow Christ. To not only say, love your neighbor, but actually live out, love your neighbor. To say, I love all the people Jesus loves, and actually love all the people that Jesus loves. Does not mean you always have to agree with them. Doesn't mean you're always going to get along. It doesn't always mean everything's going to be hunky-dory and all that stuff. Unicorns and rainbows or whatever. But if we're going to love all the people that God loves, if we really believe, do you love God? Yep. Did you believe Jesus loves you? Yep. Believe Jesus loves everyone? Yep. You love everyone? Yep. Then if it's that simple, do it.
Come on.
Do it. I think that's our challenge today. There's a lot of moments right now. Yeah, it's difficult to be a neighbor. There's a lot of moments right now that it's difficult to be nice to one another. There's a lot of moments right now it'd be easier just to, "Arr" at somebody rather than say something nice.